Syria was once home to a highly educated middle class. Books were an important part of the culture, and literacy was highly valued. But the country's six-year war has endangered all of that, especially for young Syrian girls. That's what journalist Gail Tsemak Lamon found out recently when she visited the Syrian town of Tabqa, just outside of Raqqa. She was struck by the story of a 16-year-old there named Bushra.
She is this incredible young woman, you know, with just very bright eyes and a great sense of humor, living with her extended family of about 20 in a bombed out office building. She was a girl who had been in school. She had finished ninth grade and the war came and her family left Aleppo, looked for safety in Raqqa, and ended up marrying her off like so many girls she knew. And she said to me, you know, every girl I knew was either kidnapped or gone missing or married off. And it's really devastating because here you're talking to a 16-year-old girl with a 2-year-old and a 9-month-old. And she said, you know, now my dreams are all for my children. You know, what was really striking, Marco, is that she did the interview with us in plain sight of her husband and her extended family. And what she said has stayed with me because I said, do you talk to any of your friends? And she said, no, we're all scattered, all my schoolmates. And she said, but I'm one of the lucky ones because I actually like my husband.
So this is not just one or two cases. I mean, it sounds like this is a case for a lot of young girls there.
Absolutely. And it's an underreported story. You know, you talk to these young women, girls 15, 16, 17, and they will all tell you that, you know, almost everybody they know is either married or missing or was injured or killed in the war, that there is this generation of girls that has seen their dreams really be crushed in the wake of years of fighting.
So, as you say, the logic for the parents who do this, they're protecting their daughters by having them married off. Describe the parents for us. Do they see the dilemma, or was this a natural decision for many of them?
And there has always been early marriage in the Middle East. But in Syria in particular, education levels were very high. Girls were in school. But when war comes, parents look to figure out how to keep their children safe. And for girls, a lot of parents see marriage as a way to put them in an extended family that keeps them more secure and safer than they could keep them and keeps them fed. And, you know, what you see in terms of paying the price is young lives, right, that will never be the same. A whole generation of smart, educated young people who are really now trying to survive and rebuild their lives on the ash heap of war.
What about other girls? Do they continue pursuing their dreams?
You know, there's one 13-year-old girl who I just keep thinking about from Raqqa, and I met her in a camp for displaced people just outside Raqqa, and she's hasn't been in school in 5 years. And she came up to me and she was really shy. And it's hard to find girls that age to interview because oftentimes families will keep them very close for safety. And so I said to her, you know, tell me about yourself. What do you want to do? And she said, all I want to do is be back in a classroom. And I said, okay, well, what subject? And she looked at me and said, oh, I don't care. Whatever subject it is. Wow. You know, I just want to be back studying. And at the end of the day, and we were leaving at the end of several hours of doing interviews and talking to people. And she said, you know, I wish you would come every day. And it just, yeah, it stays with you.
I mean, it strikes me, too, that trauma shadows them constantly. Who can they talk to when they need to unload? Is that like even in their mindset?
That is the biggest question. And it's one that is seen as, you know, lower on the needs of folks who've been displaced or folks who've been refugees and returning home. And yet it is so urgent. What struck me is that I don't know when the last time anybody asked this young woman what she wanted or how she was feeling or what she wanted to study, because her family's been struggling to survive years of civil war and ISIS rule, you know, and that whole piece about trauma and how you move forward. I don't know where these girls are going to go to have somebody just listen.
This visit to Tabqa seems like it had a really big impact on you and the girls you met. What else really stuck with you from what you saw?
The strength and the courage of the mothers we met stays with me. And I think about it all the time, whether it's Bushra, who is 16 and a mother of two, or another mother we met in Raqqa, who walked out of Raqqa City braving ISIS snipers and the threat of coalition airstrikes seeking to dislodge ISIS snipers, 8 months pregnant, and led her 2-year-old daughter and her mentally ill husband out of the city amid all of this, snipers and airstrikes. And she gave birth in the camp for displaced people in Ayanisa outside Raqqa. And she was so strong and so articulate in talking to us about the future she wants for her daughters and how she wants it to be different. And you know, you hear young people say, our generation is lost, but everything now is for the next generation.
Incredible. Gail Samak-Lamon, she recently visited the Syrian town of Tabqa, just outside of Raqqa. Gail, thank you very much for telling us about this.
Great to join you.
Gail's trip to Syria was supported by the Pulitzer Center for Crisis Reporting. Speaking with her today reminded us of a conversation we had last year with another young Syrian. His name is Abdul Kafi Alhamdo. He spoke with us from Aleppo during the brutal siege there. And as we spoke, Abdul held his infant daughter, Lamar, in his lap while bombs fell all around their apartment. Abdul Kafi and his family now live in the Syrian province of Idlib. We reached out to them via WhatsApp today.
I hope that Lamar will be an educated woman, that she can study what she wants, of course, what she loves to study in the future. But the important thing for her, that what I want for her, not to think only for herself. No, I want her to think of the world, and she's an important part of this world. Because this is what I believe, what I hope for the future of Syria to be. So I hope Lamar in the future will help other people who suffered. We felt abandoned for years. A lot of people let us down. I want my daughter Lamar to help those people and don't let them feel that way that we felt. Yes, this is what I hope in the future for the coming generation and especially for my daughter Lamar.
Syrian English teacher Abdul Kafi Alhamdo speaking with us from Idlib province in Syria.